Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Am I tough enough?
Strong and stable leadership.
Total rhubarb.
Hell yes, I'm tough enough.
Shut the fridge.
Not another one!
It's the Politics Show podcast.
Hello and welcome to this emergency edition of the Politics Joe podcast. Play the emergency podcast klaxon, Ava Santina. Play it now.
Oh!
We're joined instead of Ed Campbell by this delightful bottle of Scotch Blend whiskey because we're recording this before 11 a.m. in the morning. So I think a bit uncivilized to have a lager.
I haven't tried it yet, actually.
It's not bad.
You made this.
I did, yeah. I did.
No, that's really nice. Mm. That's
Irish coffee.
That's
for you.
Frighteningly nice.
Yeah,
actually.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous, that isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Better than sugar.
Yeah.
Not bad. We're talking because breaking news today, right, about the MP Geraint Davis. He's been suspended from the Labour Party. You're a member of the lobby, the only serious political journalist among the Politics Joe team.
Thank you. If you're watching on the YouTube, you'll be able to see Charlie Herbert's mug that I'm using. Which he's a Joe writer.
Uh-huh.
He has a mug that says fucking fantastic journalist.
And that you both are.
Well, you know.
And that you both are. So tell me, what's going on in the Labour Party? What's happening with Geraint?
So we're speaking moments after Geraint has had the whip suspended by the Labour Party. And that was in reaction to an article that came out in Politico this morning, which is Esther Webber has found that there have been multiple sexual harassment allegations made against the Swansea West MP. These have been going on for quite some time, actually. A few Labour advisers that I have spoken to this morning have told me it's been on the whip's desk for nearly a year. So some of these allegations include a 22-year-old and a 19-year-old. And so most of them follow a pattern. It seems to be that this Labour MP has been out for drinks of an evening, sometimes in parliamentary bars, and he has allegedly been speaking to younger colleagues and bought them drinks, perhaps suggested they go back to his flat, generally made them uncomfortable. And those are the allegations at the moment.
So just in the interest of obviously doing our due diligence, Mr. Davis does deny the allegations. He gave a statement to Politico that said, "I don't recognise the allegations suggested and do not know who has made them." A spokesperson for the Labour Party said, "These are incredibly serious allegations of completely unacceptable behaviour. We strongly encourage anyone with a complaint to come forward to the Labour Party's investigation." Tell me more about the whip's desk and this being there for a year. I mean, is this just due process taking place? What's the story? Why does something like that, if it lands on a... Well, actually, also, maybe as well explain for those who aren't familiar what a whip is, you know?
Well, a whip is a member of parliament who is in the parliamentary party who essentially keeps other members of the party in check. So if there's going to be a controversial vote, the whips will go out and they will tell their set of MPs that they have to vote in a certain way. So, I mean, an example of that would be like Christian Wakeford. He is a whip and he is responsible actually for a few of the MPs who are part of the socialist campaign group. So he'll go off to them and he'll be like, "Don't you dare vote for free school meals. We decided we're not going to."
Yeah. That's really a fairly spicy job for a whip in Keir Starmer's Labour Party policing those guys.
Yeah, yeah, totally. But yeah, so allegedly, apparently, according to the advisors that I've spoken to, it's been sitting on the desk for some time, which means that they are aware of it, but there had been no formal complaint made. Mm. But you see now, kind of a formal complaint is odd territory, because I would like to think that in a workplace, if there was a rumour going around that someone had allegedly groped someone else during drinks, as a manager, you'd go, I'm going to have a little look into that, because that seems not very good for morale. You know, just base levels.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, other than what's right and what's wrong. Yeah, I guess there's kind of procedures and does this get escalated to a formal complaint, etc. But if something like that comes to your attention, you are kind of beholden, not just from a corporate perspective, but, you know, from a sort of moral and ethical perspective.
Morality and MPs, Ollie V.
But no, as an individual, you know, if you find out that's like something that has happened, it's beholden on you to establish if it's happened.
Beholden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No pun intended.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the other allegations that are around the Labour Party at the moment.
Sure.
So the past couple of months, it's been a busy agenda on the sexual harassment front for them. So Labour MP Neil Coyle, he was recently suspended after some allegations of racist behaviour were raised. So that was against a member of the parliamentary lobby, so one of the journalists. He allegedly was racist to him in the Strangers Bar, which is on the estate. He had the whip suspended. Now, he's now had it restored, but oddly, there are also allegations against him that have been upheld of harassment. And this was
At Labour Party conference?
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of what the word is. Anyway, so from something that happened at Labour Party conference. And there's also been a Labour aide who has recently left the party after allegations of sexual harassment were made against him. And he sat in the leader's office, so he was advising Keir Starmer's front bench for too long after those allegations were going around. Do you know when something, a rumour becomes so ubiquitous that everyone knows about it? Like the rats that lick the parliamentary dinner plates knew about it. And it's kind of like, you obviously do know and have heard some things. Surely you should have launched an investigation. But, you know, Labour aren't the only ones. There's actually 56 MPs from across the parties who are currently facing allegations of sexual harassment, and nothing is being done about those.
That's an extraordinary number, mm. You know, considering there's 350 parliamentary constituencies, you know.
650.
Yeah, 350. Getting my electoral maths mixed up, yeah.
Maybe if we had proportional representation, Ollie.
Do we want proportional representation?
Your agenda comes right back in, doesn't it?
Sexual abuses, yeah.
Ollie wants a full country of UKIP.
Always,
we get it.
Always making political points about other people's misery. I mean, are these people just wrong-uns? Is there a broader culture in Westminster? I mean, you're there all the time. I'm not. I've been occasionally with you. And the kind of pomp and swagger of some of the MPs in there makes me a bit sick. They are obviously, they're part of the legislature of this country. They have a powerful position, but I get bad vibes from quite a lot of them. I'm trying to sort of tease out whether this is a broader cultural problem, whether it's just down to the individuals that are being investigated for these things. I don't know what your perspective on that is.
I think to answer that question, you kind of need to understand the culture and the atmosphere that exists in Parliament. So on the Westminster, on the estate, there's kind of this sort of schoolboy feel about it. Like, it really feels like, well, what I imagine a public school boarding house would have been like. And there's this kind of like weird protections that are around certain members, and there's a hierarchy. That hierarchy is even on the badges that you're forced to wear all around the estate. So there's different colours for your rank, you know, like an MP will wear a silver one that's like access all areas. I wear a red one, which is just restricted to the lobby. Green staff member is kind of like bottom of the pile. They can only go to the bars if an MP invites them on certain days. So this is weird hierarchy. Now, on my first day in Parliament in the lobby, I was in Strangers Bar, and I was actually with friend of the podcast, Matthew Torbett, who is a Labour advisor, and a Tory advisor put his hand up my skirt. And I'm not talking like in a light way or like an accidental brush pass. I mean, like, he went right up my skirt. And I was so shocked, I didn't even know what to say. And I was worried that Matthew was going to get into like a pub brawl with him. And I was just like, no, we're technically a place of work. Stop.
Yeah.
Let's leave it. And a doorman, so these doormen are, they wear white tie and they're on the doors.
Like most bouncers, yeah.
Yeah, like a bouncer, but except it's, you know.
Parliamentary, yeah. Like boarding school.
Yeah. And he came over and he reported him to Speaker Lindsay Hoyle.
Mm.
And that was a really crap thing to happen on my first day.
It's horrific.
In Parliament.
It's more than crap, it's yeah. appalling.
But it's a really good idea and insight into what it's like there. It's kind of like a hotbed of sexual misconduct.
And do you think, sorry, if you don't want to talk about this, that's fine, but just to probe that a little bit further, do you think that was a recognition of the fact that it was your first day, you were probably feeling a little bit sort of, maybe not vulnerable, but, you know, conspicuous, trying to figure out what the rules of the place are? Like you said, right, there's all these unwritten rules about how people behave and what they are and aren't allowed to do, and you're kind of there in the place figuring it out. Do you think the person you're talking about identified that in you and took advantage of the situation? What do you think was going on there?
I think, not to be arrogant, but it wouldn't happen now, because I don't think that Tory advisor knew who I was. I think he thought that I was very junior,
right,
and very new to it all, and I wouldn't say anything about it. He didn't realise that I was this really mouthy from Joe.
Yeah.
I think there was like, in the kind of aftermath of that, when he kind of did figure out and put together who I was, there was like odd, he sent me a load of apologies and was trying to be friends with me and, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm.
Anyway, he got banned from the bar. So not from the estate, from the bar.
And that's actually, that's adequate punishment for what he did?
I mean, it was quite relieving to know that he wouldn't be in the bar.
Yeah.
I think it's really hard to explain, because when we're talking about the culture, you basically put the most powerful people in the country with the least powerful. Like the junior staffers, the junior reporters, they're on, you know, their salary is like 20 grand, early 20s. The MPs are, you know, very powerful status, and they can buy drinks and they can invite these staffers in.
If you're Jeffrey Cox, you can buy a lot of drinks.
Quite. On a Deems of Harway, but not now that he's had to pay the tax.
Yeah, not now. He's hard up. Yeah. He's hard up at the moment.
But yeah, that weird, odd power dynamic and slant, I think, is why harassment is so ubiquitous. Because if you are a 23-year-old and you've got your dream job working for an MP in Parliament, like, you can be overcome by like the pomp of all of it, the mother of all parliaments you're working in. Why would you jeopardise your position by potentially ratting in an MP who has assaulted you?
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's like that really classic sort of Me Too type environment where people, sort of gatekeepers and people in positions of power, abuse that power, and you almost end up in a situation where it's an open secret, right?
That, yeah.
As was the case with Weinstein, like, you know, you read the reporting around it, and people eventually sort of coming out and saying everyone had a Harvey story, like everyone knew about Harvey, and monsters like that were able to operate in that environment for years, decades.
Well, look at Charlotte Nichols. Charlotte Nichols, who is the Labour MP, she was given a list when she first entered Parliament of MPs to stay away from.
By Philip Schofield? Was that like the David Cameron thing, or?
Oh, okay. Right.
No, sorry.
Right. No, I get it now. Yeah. We should put that clip in here, because it's just actually just quite an amazing, amazing clip.
There could have been a paedophile ring amongst the elite of Great Britain that led all the way to Downing Street. A momentary cursory glance at the internet. It took me about 3 minutes last night to continually find a list of the same names. I have those names there. Those are the names on a piece of paper. You know the names on that piece of paper. Will you be speaking to those people?
Look, I think, Philip, this is really important, right? Because there is a danger, if we're not careful, that this can turn into a sort of witch hunt, particularly against people who are gay. And I'm worried about the sort of thing you're doing right now, giving me a list of names that you've taken off the internet. Now, as I say, if anyone has any information about anyone who's a paedophile, no matter how high up in British society they are, that is what the police are for.
Mad moment in British politics. Sorry, go on.
No, that's it. She was given a list. And I mean, what? Imagine coming to a place of work and on your first day, someone says like, oh, here's your mug, here's where you get the coffee, here's the printer, oh, and here's a list of men that will touch you up. Like, that's so mental.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what I was thinking of, right? I was trying to make the comparison. When you were detailing that horrific story, right, on your first day, if that happened in another place of work, that person wouldn't be banned from going to a certain part of the office. Do you know what I mean? Like that would be serious HR, probably almost certainly gross misconduct, almost certainly sacked, you know? And the rules evidently are different. The rules, they cater and suit and fit and enable people to get away with that kind of behaviour. It's, deplorable, disgusting. I mean, is it, so to go back to that question, right, about culture and individuals, do you think there is something unique about Westminster? Do you, why, how, 56?
Yeah.
56 people, like, that's not right.
No, it's not. But then you've also got to think about the, again, going back to the culture or the precedent that has been set. So, like, right at the top of that, you've got MPs like David Warburton, who has been, you know, expunged from the body politic because of his actions. Or you've got, you know, the various other MPs that Boris Johnson covered up for. I mean, it's not just like a male-female problem. It's male to male. It's everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but if you set that precedent, which is if someone reports an allegation of sexual harassment and the Prime Minister is willing to cover it up, then how on earth are you expecting, like, the normal, you know, machine or mechanisms of good policing to work at the bottom of the pile?
Completely. Yeah, completely.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Total Rhubarb.
It's the Politics Show podcast.
I mean, also this week as well, this sort of comes in the context of the stories about Nick Cohen.
Yeah.
Coming out. And
another Weinstein story, really.
Yeah.
Something that was so widely discussed if you were in the arena, but not talked about on the stage. So just to catch up in case you haven't heard the story, Nick Cohen was a very prominent columnist at The Observer.
Yep.
A couple of years ago, Madison Marriage, who is a journalist, brought to the editor of the Financial Times several allegations that had been made against him by several different women. Two of them were willing to go on record with their name, and she had several other pieces of information that inexplicably proved the allegations made against him. I should just say that Mr. Cohen has denied all allegations that were levied at him when he spoke in a phone interview with The Guardian. The FT editor actually turned down the story.
Yep.
She said that it wasn't of interest. No one knew who Nick Cohen was.
Not enough of a business angle.
Yeah. And then surprisingly, even Private Eye turned it down, which really surprises me because Nick Cohen was writing for Private Eye at the time. Do you not want me to say that?
No, you can say that by all means. I was raising my eyebrows because I was going to say, I don't think it is surprising because, like you said, he was writing for Private Eye.
Yeah.
You know, is it a surprise that they're not? This, I mean, sorry to interrupt you mid-flow, but I just would like to illustrate, you know, the reason we know about this is because the New York Times wrote it up.
Yeah.
It's not because the British media wrote about it. And I think, as you've just mentioned there, Private Eye, the Financial Times, even people within The Observer, I mean, obviously you're never going to get that. You're never going to be able to pitch a story where you say, oh yeah, so-and-so is actually a sexual predator and I want to out him in our own paper.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're a courageous editor, maybe you would do that. But it's an open secret. And we can come back to this. Sorry, I just realized.
No, I think that's the perfect. No, you did not at all. I think that's exactly it. Why did an American-based newspaper have to reveal this? Now, surely, if the defense made by the Financial Times editor that no one knew who Nick Cohen was actually stood, then an American newspaper is not going to write it up, are they?
New York Times interested.
And look, maybe you didn't know who he was, but I think Observer columnist has been sexually harassing, allegedly, young women. I think that's a story. That is a story.
No, of course it is.
But, you know, I was looking at this, like, so the editor, Paul Webster of The Observer, when Nick Cohen left, because he did, he just left quietly or whatever, he wrote a statement which said, we would like to thank him for his long contribution and service. Nick Cohen has been a brilliant columnist whose incisive, emphatic writing has been a big part of The Observer for more than 20 years. That's how he left The Observer. Not in disgrace, not quietly. He left with a thank you and praise.
What a fucking scumbag.
So weird.
Sickening.
And then again...
I think, was it health reasons was they gave or something like that? That's why he sat down?
It was health reasons. Yeah. The health of his, like, ability to keep his hands in his pocket.
Off, like, young female intern.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
But again, that's the culture that I guess we're talking about. If at the top of it, someone as big as Nick Cohen can be defended by the editor, if you are in payroll at The Observer and someone treats you in a way that you don't find appropriate, why would you report it? Why would you feel that you could report it?
Mm. Yeah, and the New York Times did the job for the British media. I mean, they did the same thing, right, with the Trojan Horse affair. You know, expose the inadequacies of the British media. Like, it's all there to see. Why is an American paper doing the job of the British media? There are some things that the New York Times does, which obviously are, like, just slightly ridiculous in the way they're sort of, like, they go viral on Twitter sometimes, right, where they're just, like, panhandling London or, like, restaurants in London or making out that the rest of the country is some sort of, like, Brexit cesspit,
yeah,
which are always quite painful. But there are other parts of their reporting which are actually really good. They fill a gap that sort of some of the other British broadsheets don't fill themselves with their on the ground reporting. The international edition of the New York Times is pretty good, and I wonder whether, first of all, maybe this isn't a conversation to have now about sort of subscriber models and how strong the New York Times is right now. We'll have that conversation another day. But it speaks to the club, right? The members club, if you will, of British journalism. And it's something that you're sort of privy to by being a member of the lobby, right? There's the
being a touched up member of the lobby.
I really shouldn't be laughing at you making that joke. It's basically us and our mates, and I've fundamentally felt this for an incredibly long time, all the time I've worked in media, is if you are friends with people, it makes it so much harder for you to tell the truth about them. And that goes for MPs as much as it does for other journalists. You know, I remember I went to a talk by Neville Thelbeck, who was was a hack. He kind of did the, that's probably a bit unfair. He's a journalist. He was a tabloid journalist. He did he got the Rebecca Lewes story with David Beckham, etc. And he was talking about the value of being sort of outside of the main pack of journalists, like being a lone wolf that everyone else hated, because it meant that he never felt any obligation to kind of join the huddle after PMQs and say the same thing as everyone else. Not that he was doing that, but it's an example within political journalism. He never felt bad about writing a story because, you know, one of his mates was involved, and so how was it going to reflect on them? He was happy to tell the truth, to stick the knife into people, because it wasn't he wasn't bound by the bonds of friendship. And I've always enjoyed the fact, when I've been at Politics Joe, that we've never really been sort of inside the tent. And I think it has made it quite difficult for you going into that environment to then be having come from a publisher where we're very much like ripping the piss out of these people quite relentlessly all of the time, to then go and be in the parliamentary estate, hanging out with them, and talking. And I'm not trying to say that this is like, you know...
hate us.
Yes.
You hate us.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll be in lobby and I'll be like sitting at the back and I go to ask a question. People will actually physically turn around and like be like, yeah, honestly. Oh, bringing out Rwanda again, right? Will you just let them give us their fucking excuses in peace, all right?
No, completely. And I think this is a really neat example that demonstrates that, you know. I don't expect most normal people to know who Nick Cohen is, but I just really like to emphasize the point that within British political journalism, he is a known name. He's a big time. I don't know if you can be big time in a political journalist in Britain, but he is, you know, he's a columnist. He writes about politics for The Observer. He is known. And for no one to be talking about this in what was, like we were saying earlier, an open secret, really, about these allegations, how does it not get picked up? And I don't know I struggle to reach for an explanation other than it's we're all mates. We take care of each other. Mm. And obviously there's other really, really egregious examples of that all across the press. But yeah, it's pretty fucking depressing.
Mm.
Should we leave it there? What a happy place to...
Yeah, I think so.
Great. Thanks for listening to the Politics Joe podcast. See you on the next one. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.